إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، إن شاء الله tonight we'll continue talking about سورة الحجرات, which is سورة number 49 in the Quran. Inshallah, we'll try to finish it all tonight. It's just in brief. We're not explaining every single detail or every single ayah in the surah. We're just talking about the different manners that this surah has, as the scholars had named the surah as the surah of manners and etiquette. It has the different types of manners and rites that a person should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with the believers too, which basically makes and shows the Muslim the perfect life that a person should live. And the calling in the surah, as we mentioned last time, of all you who believe, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, this call, this beautiful call to the people of iman, the people of faith, is so many repeated in the Quran. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, if you hear ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then pay attention or make yourself attentive, because whatever comes after it, it's either an order you are ordered to do, or it's something that is forbidden that you are ordered to be away from. So anytime a Muslim is reciting the Quran and he sees this ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, or you who believe, then he has to pay attention to what is next. And in this surah, which is consists of 18 verses, it has five of these calls from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers, O you who believe. And in each one it has a manner that a Muslim is obliged to apply in his life. As we mentioned last time, the first ayah, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O you who believe, make not a decision in advance before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fear Allah, verily Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. So this was the matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the matters with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no one is to make in advance any decision, any saying, any doing, anything or action that is done when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered in it something in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned something in it in the Hadith. No one is to have his own opinion in it, or his own way of doing things, if the order has already been set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the manner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having good expectations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all His commands and all His religion is for the best of our life in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible the things that are pure, the things that would make our lives the most easiest, the most wonderful, the most true, real, pleasurable life. And in the same manner, part of this good expectation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person knows that anything that is forbidden in our religion, it's not just for the mere forbidden, that it's forbidden only to make things difficult, but it's forbidden because this is something bad that would a person be in his life if he's applying these forbidden things. So to make our life the best of the lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made things permissible and had made things not permissible. And for that reason, no one is to come forth and make his own decision when Allah already subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the decision as far as the permissible and the non-permissible acts. And also we mentioned about the second manner of raising not the voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor speak aloud to him in talk as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds should be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. And this we mentioned that it was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's also after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not permissible for the person to speak loud in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade that. And it shows that this is the simplest thing that a person can do to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is forbidden. So what about the major ones? The things that are clearly disobeying the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Muslim should never be in that thing, since he is falling under this call of Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe. Some of the manners of this surah, and as I said, we're not going to go through every verse, but some of the manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in this surah is in the verse number 6. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu, an tusibu qawman bijahalatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. O you who believe, if a fasiq, a liar or an evil person, comes to you with any news, verify it, lest you should harm people in ignorance. And afterwards, you become regretful for what you have done. So this manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, starting it with, Ya ayyuhal ladheena aman, O you who believe. So this manner that comes after it is something that is only for the believers to apply. That if a fasiq, a liar, or an evil person, or even something that you don't know, is trustworthy, and he comes to you with any news, you have to verify it first. Otherwise, you might harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful of what you have done. And this verse actually was revealed for a reason. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people came to him, and they accepted Islam by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is basically Al-Harith ibn Dirar. He's the one that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepted Islam and entered Islam. And after that, he knew the different pillars of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made an agreement with him that he would send to his tribe somebody that would collect the zakat. And they set the date. And after that, when the date came, the Prophet ﷺ could not send somebody to him. And this person thought that maybe an anger from Allah is on him, since the Prophet ﷺ didn't send someone to him to collect the zakat, the obligatory charity from him. And when this happened, the Prophet ﷺ afterwards sent someone, and he was late. And this person, which is, he's the Al-Walid ibn Uqba, he was sent to Al-Harith to collect the zakat, but while he was on the way to them, he saw them coming, and they were going to the Prophet ﷺ to ask why it was late for someone to be sent to collect the zakat. So he thought that they were coming to kill him. So he went back to the Prophet ﷺ, and he told them, told the Prophet ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, Al-Harith, which is the leader of this tribe, had refused to give me the zakah, and he wanted to kill me. So the Prophet ﷺ was angered by this, and the Prophet ﷺ sent like a small army to him, and they met them on the way. And when they asked them where you're going, and they said, we are going to you because you kept your zakah, he says that he did not know anything about this, and of course it was a false claim that it might lead to a war and bloodshed because of this. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, that if an evil person or a liar comes to you with any news, you have to verify it first before you can make your own judgment, which is something very, very important for the Muslim to have in his manners, that not everything that has been told that he can believe and trust and act according to these speeches, which is something very, very important that a lot of Muslims fall into it. A lot of things that are said in the media, for example, about certain things in certain places, person has to make sure that it's authentic, that it's correct, before he can make judgment over certain people or certain countries or certain tribes, because this is forbidden, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned. Also, when a person is calling others names, and that they are not following the Quran and the Sunnah and things like that, out of exchanging words without having any evidences, there are clear evidences that this person is not following the Quran and the Sunnah and things like that, as we hear so many in the Muslim world, he has to make sure that this person is saying this or saying that, and it's not just passing words from one another, because it makes and causes so much harm among the Muslim Ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the hadith, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. There is enough lying for a person is the one that always speaks whatever he hears. If a person says and conveys anything that he hears, the Prophet ﷺ saying he is a liar. This is enough lie for him. That means he does not need more lies for him to be called a liar. He is a liar, the person that everything that he hears, he conveys. So it's forbidden for a person to have this attitude. A person should always make sure and authenticate whatever is told to him before he can convey it to others, so that no harm can cause these things. Also, one of these manners that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala had mentioned in the Quran, in this surah, in ayah number 10, إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. The believers are nothing else than brothers in Islamic religion. So make reconciliation between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy. This verse clearly also states that fact that believers are nothing else but brothers in Islamic religion, and this is the highest of the notch of Iman, highest level of Iman of faith, is to love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you love the believers, you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messengers, and His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you love the believers, and on the same token, you dislike those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't follow His religion. So the believers are nothing but brothers. So whenever we see some problems among the Muslims, it's because they did not fulfill the conditions of Iman. This ayah when it says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, that those who are brothers are the believers. So if they are really believers, they have to be brothers. And if they're not acting according to this brotherhood in Islam, then there is something wrong in their Iman. They did that because of their sins, because of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find quarrelsome, you find problems among the Muslims because of this. But if they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah and be away from disobeying Him, you'll find the Muslims living in harmony, and you won't find them having troubles with one another, because the faith and the true belief and increasing the faith and the Iman will eventually cause them to be brothers in this religion. And of course, this topic needs a lot of explanation, a lot of details on the rights of the Muslim towards the other Muslim brother, but it's not the time for explaining this. But just in short, there is differences between the right of Allah and the right of others. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so easy for Allah to forgive and to accept the repentance of his slave, because he is the most merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person has committed a sin with regards to the rights of Allah, for example, not fasting or doing some sin or leaving a salah or something, he can simply repent and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and Allah inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this forgiveness and this repentance. But when it comes to the rights of people, this is where the person has to be very careful. Of course, he's very careful with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. But after repenting from the sin, when it involves other people, there's also an extra condition to that, which is the person has to ask that person that he committed harm against to forgive him before the Day of Judgment would come, and there is no ways of reconciliation except with the deeds and the sins. So this is something that the Muslim has to pay attention in regard with the relationship among the Muslim nation in general, that not conveying words that he heard without authenticating it, and having all the rights from a Muslim to a Muslim brother. Another manner that is mentioned in the surah, which is in the next verse, in the verse number 11, with the same call, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُهُوا بِلِيفِ, let not a group scoff at another group. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Which means, O you who believe, let not a group scoff at another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former, nor let some women scoff at another woman. It may be that the latter are better than the former, nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith? It means to call your Muslim brother a faithful believer as, O sinner, O wicked. And whosoever does not repent, then such are indeed of Walimun, the wrongdoers. This ayah that starts with all who believe. So many different manners in it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered us to have in our lives. Not scoff at one another, to not look down upon a Muslim brother, whether it's because he is less in wealth or whether he is less in looks or whatever the reason is, a Muslim is forbidden to look down on his Muslim brother. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that was narrated by Imam Muslim, بِحَسْبِ مْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْكِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It is enough evil for a Muslim to look down upon his Muslim brother. This is enough evil for a Muslim to look down upon his Muslim brother. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically states after that, in general, women also, since both men and women are obligated to not scoff to one another or look down at one another, and also calling each other names like O sinner, O wicked, or nicknames that would make fun of the person, all these things are forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states at the end of the verse, how bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith, that he has accepted this faith, so how can you insult him after he had accepted this faith as being, calling them O sinner, O wicked, or things like that. And of course, as I said, this is something that is mentioned in quick. There's also another hadith from the Prophet ﷺ narrated by Imam Muslim that shows that kibr and having pride is something that prevents the person from entering Jannah. And the opposite of that is that the person has to be humble to the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the haughty, even with pride equal to a mustard seed in his heart, will not enter paradise. The one that has pride in his heart that is equal to a mustard seed will not enter paradise. A man inquired, what about a person likes fine dress and fine shoes? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is beautiful and he likes beauty. Pride amounts to disclaiming truth out of self-esteem and despising people. So kibr is despising people, looking down at people and avoiding the truth, and always be stubborn and follow one's desire without following the truth. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden for the Muslim to do, is to scoff one another or to look down at one another. Another matter in the surah, in the verse 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the believers, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann, inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithm. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, which roughly translates, O you who believe, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And spy not, neither backbite to one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting. And fear Allah, verily Allah is the one who forgives and accepts repentance, most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, these verses shows how to have the best manners with other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly ordering the believers to avoid much suspicion. And as one of the brothers had asked about suspicion, a Muslim should avoid much suspicion, because indeed some suspicions are sins. So you have to avoid so many of it, because some of it are sins. And a person should always have a good expectation to his Muslim brother. And Umar radiallahu anhu was narrated from him that he had said that if you see your Muslim brothers doing something, do not be suspicious and give him over 60 excuses why he is doing what he is doing. So this is a way where the Muslim should always try to be, not have suspicions of anyone unless there is clear evidence of something. But having suspicions and having bad expectations and things like that, this is not the manners of the believers. The manners of the believers is that they have always good expectations of one another. And also do not spy on one another. A person should not spy and try to find the faults of others. so that he can talk about them and he can show that he is better than them. Spying is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the Muslims. But of course, if during war, the spy during war is permissible. But among Muslims, spying on one another, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade. Also backbiting. Backbiting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade it. And this backbiting, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has defined it clearly. When he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, first of all, there is the hadith of suspicion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned the hadith in Bukhari, beware of suspicion. For suspicion is the worst of false tales. And do not look for others' faults. And do not do spying on one another. And do not practice najash, which is a way of usury dealing. And do not be jealous of one another. And do not hate one another. And do not desert. Stop talking to one another. And O Allah's worshippers, be brothers. So the Prophet ﷺ ordering the Muslims too to be brothers to one another and being away from all the things that would make them not fulfilling this brotherhood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to have. Also, for backbiting, there are so many different rulings with regarding of to backbiting, and that it's not permissible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that it's not permissible for the Muslim to backbite a Muslim brother. And backbiting, as the Prophet ﷺ had defined when he was asked about it, he asked his companions, do you know what backbiting or backbiting is? As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا تَكْرَهُ, mentioning your brother with something that he would dislike. And he, when he was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, if what my brother has, that means if I'm speaking the truth, and whatever I'm saying of bad qualities that this person has behind his back, if this is true in him, would that still be considered backbiting? The Prophet ﷺ said, in answering this question, if you say, if what you're saying regards to your brother is true, then you have backbited him. And if you're lying against your brother, then you have slandered him, which is worse than backbiting. So backbiting basically is speaking the truth, but speaking about something that your Muslim brother won't like to speak, for you to speak about it behind his back, something in his quality that he would dislike for someone to know about it. And this ayah, this part of the ayah, which is forbidden from backbiting, there's so many different hadiths and so many different incidences that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had clearly mentioned this great crime that a person would do when he backbites his Muslim brothers. And he had ordered two Muslims, for example, one time to go eat from the corpse of a donkey that had died and had made a very bad smell. And when they told him, why would we do such a thing? The Prophet ﷺ told them, because of how you spoke about your brother earlier when they spoke about him behind his back in an ill way. So the punishment of it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ, which roughly means, would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting. And one time, for example, as it's mentioned in the hadith that which was, it's an authentic story actually, when some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they had a servant with them when they were traveling with the Prophet ﷺ, and he overslept. So one of them said that such and such sleeps too much, or more or less of what they said about this person sleeping. So when they woke up, they told him that go to the Prophet ﷺ and ask him for food. So when he went to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him for food, the Prophet ﷺ told them to go to your companions and tell them that they already had ate. So when he went back to them and he told them that, they were strange by what the Prophet ﷺ had told them to tell them. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ and they told him what happened. The Prophet ﷺ told them, you had already ate. I see the meat and the flesh of your Muslim brother between your teeth, because they backbited him. They spoke about him behind his back. Then he sleeps a lot, which is something simple that a lot of us would say all the time about Muslims or something with that regard as far as bad qualities that they would have, something very simple. But the Prophet ﷺ said that I see his flesh between your teeth, because the punishment of it as if you ate the dead flesh of your brother. And when the Prophet ﷺ says I see his flesh between your teeth, this is true. That because the Prophet ﷺ would never say anything in a lie, so he was shown the meat and the flesh of this brother between the teeth of those who backbited him. So many instances in the Sunnah that shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden backbiting, which is a major sin, and it's not permissible except for certain occasions, as the scholars have clearly mentioned them, like going to court, for example, going to a Muslim judge and complaining about someone else, and he has to speak behind his back. This is permissible. Asking someone about a person that wanted to marry a sister, for example. So if you're asked about the qualities of a person that is intended to marry, then you have to say everything about that person, whether it's good or bad, and basically you have to tell the bad, because people usually ask about the bad qualities, if there is any. So this is a trust and a manner that a person has to convey the truth when it comes to these regards, or forbidding evil, for example. If you see an evil that you can seek help from someone else to forbidden it, and the only way that you do that is you have to speak about someone, then it's permissible to backbite. And also when a person is, as we said, forbidding evil, and you know, when it comes to situations like that, then backbiting is forbidden, is permissible. But again, it has to be done sincerely. A person is not doing it so that he can revenge from such and such person, but he's doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since it's a trust that he has to fulfill. And backbiting, for example, those who openly commit sins and people are seeing them and publicly committing sins, then it's permissible for a person to backbite them. And as I said, maybe we can have a whole lecture by itself talking about backbiting and how dangerous that is, and what's the reason for it, and how to repent from it, and simply how to repent from backbiting. If you have backbited someone, as the scholars mentioned, that you have to first repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regret the sin, quit acting according to these types of sins, and have the strong will that you would never commit it again. And you add to that is that you have to seek forgiveness of the person that you backbited him. But if you go to that person and you tell them that I have backbited you, he might be angry with you and he would cut relations with you. So in that regard, you should not tell him, but at the same time, you should always speak good about him in the same gathering that you have spoke ill towards him. And also you can make dua for him. You always mention him in good, you give charity on his behalf and things like that. Because on the day of judgment, it's a different story. As the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the hadith, when he asked the companions, his companions radiallahu anhum, do you know who is the bankrupt among my people? They said, Allah and His Messenger, they said the bankrupt is the one that does not have any wealth, any money with him. The Prophet ﷺ answered them and he told them, the bankrupt among my ummah, among the Muslims, are the one that comes on the Day of Judgment with fasting and with prayers and good deeds. But he came and he had insulted such and such, he had beaten up such and such, and he backbited and did all kinds of things that transgressed over other people's rights. And they come on the Day of Judgment and they take from his good deeds, and till his good deeds are all vanished, and then they take from their own sins and they put it on him till he is thrown into the hellfire. So that's why when a Muslim has this reality in his heart, that the matter of things is basically the hereafter, and that's what is the most concern of a Muslim, is to how to perfect his hereafter, then it makes these types of actions like backbiting a very dangerous one that a person should be aware of, so that he does not have to come on the Day of Judgment and give away those good deeds that he had worked hard for in this life to someone else because he had backbited them. Also, another manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in this surah, يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has a taqwa. Verily Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. This beautiful verse that states how this religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all men equal. There's no differences between people. The only thing that differentiates people and make them better than one another is taqwa. Is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is being dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeys His orders, and to have our hearts and purify it from sins. This is how people are being elevated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than that, whether it's color, whether it's sex, whether it's where the person is from, has nothing to do in this religion. That's why we see this beautiful aspect of Islam that you don't see it anywhere else, is that Muslims from all over the world, or they're supposed to be, are together, one brothers, one ummah, one nation. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be. But once they are divided, then calamities will come unto them. Then the disbelievers will be against them, and things like that. Part of the Muslim ummah, which is the beauty of this religion, which was practiced, but unfortunately now we're not having it in this time in which that a Muslim citizen, there is nothing called I'm an American citizen or an Egyptian citizen or a Pakistani citizen if it's one Muslim nation. And the Muslim nation used to be from Morocco till China and parts of Europe. It was only one country. There's no borders to one another. And if a Muslim from any part of the world that comes to the Muslim nation, he is not given a second degree citizen, or he's not given just a residence or something like that, where nowadays materialistic worlds are acting according to that. But in a Muslim nation, if he is a Muslim, he is a citizen. He is given all the rights of a Muslim. He is the same as everyone else in this Muslim nation. And that's the beauty of this religion that was been practiced in the past, and not as we see now in the Muslim countries, where a person goes to a Muslim country and he needs a visa to be there. This has nothing to do with the religion. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim does not need a visa to go to a Muslim country. The Muslim nation is one nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men and women and made them nations and tribes so that they would know one another. That's the only reason for it, which means I'm from that place and you're from this place. So you get to know one another, that you're different, coming from different places. But that doesn't mean that he is better or he is worse, because all have the same citizenship. They have the same qualities. They have all the rights, which is we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accelerate the return of the Muslim power and the Muslim nations, where the Muslim can live together and they don't have to suffer as far as migration from a non-Muslim to a Muslim country and things like that. Because this is the duty of Muslims, is that they help one another, as Allah had mentioned. And if this is not happening on earth, then you see why is it clearly that Muslims are not victorious and they are being humiliated. Why? Because they clearly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many different regards. Part of it is this differentiation between nations and tribes and things like that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to give us the steadfastness in His religion. Also, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the Bedouins, the A'rab. Some of them, when they said, we believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, you believe not, but you only say, we have surrendered in Islam. For faith has not yet entered your hearts. But if you obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He will not decrease anything in reward for your deeds. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. The word Iman, faith, and the word Islam are used exchangeably in the Quran. Each word has a meaning by itself when it comes together. When it's mentioned alone, it means the other one. So when a person say Islam, Islam means in that regard the surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the orders of Allah, and the pillars of Islam, and Iman too. And when a person mentioned Iman, or when the verses talks about Iman or believers, it has the two meanings of it too, that he's the one that surrenders to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also is the one that has Iman and faith. And this Iman increases and decreases according to the deeds, increases by good deeds and decreases by bad deeds. But when it's mentioned together, Iman and Islam are mentioned together in the same verse, it means, in that case, Islam means the pillars of faith, or the outward appearance of actions. And Iman, when it comes with Islam in the same verse, it means the deeds of the heart. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, those Bedouins, that when they said we are believers, and they claimed that thing, he told them that do not say that you are believers, that you are only Muslims now, because faith has not yet entered your hearts. And this is the different levels of elevation that a Muslim goes through. First, he surrenders to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realizes that this religion is the religion of the truth. So he surrenders to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, applies the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the faith is not there yet. What I mean by the faith is not the minimum faith, because the minimum faith has to be there, believing in Allah, His messengers, and so on. But when we mean by faith or belief or Iman, it's this joy that a person would have in his heart that he's closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that increases by the good deeds and decreases by the bad deeds. So a way for a person to have this joy of faith and belief in his heart is to surrender all his parts of his body to the will of Allah. Do the orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered him to do, Allah would build the faith in his heart, which is a higher level after the person accepts Islam. And then after that is Ihsan, where the person is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if he sees him. And if he doesn't see him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him. So the believers are the ones that believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers, and afterwards doubt not, but strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah. Those, they are the truthful. People can claim so much that they are believers, but when it comes to the real sacrifice, who are those who can sacrifice their lives for the sake of Allah? The faith has to be deep in the heart. But if a person is just doing the actions of a Muslim, but the faith is not built up because of these acts, and he's not working hard and striving for the sake of Allah, then when the test comes, he might be in trouble. He might not be able to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. That's why the most important thing in one's life is the religion. It's the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to make it the priority in his life. Whether if it's time of jihad, he gives his life for jihad. If it's time of charity, he gives charity. If it's the time for enduring guilt and forbidding evil, then he's doing that. The most important thing in one's life is his religion. These are some of the manners that are mentioned in the surah. A person should give more details in explaining. But inshallah, maybe we can speak about these types of different matters among the Muslims. I don't want to keep you long. But these are some of the things and some of the manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat, but it shows the effect of the Muslims with having one ummah and forgetting about their differences and about their animosities and things like that, because that's what shaitan is very clever in doing, and not forgetting that the basic and the main purpose of our life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And instead of trying to reconcile with one another, we should try and do our best to increase our faith. In that case, the brotherhood in Islam will increase. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds from us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.